This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Good evening. My name is Kimberly Travaglino, and I'm one of the hosts here at Road School Moms. I'm the road schooling mom to four kiddos and the founder of FullTimeFamilies.com. And on the line with me is my co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher. We're a traveling family of six, including four curious learners, that we're so enjoying taking on a continuous learning road trip that we have with our roadtripteacher.com. And I just want to give a special shout out and thanks to all the road moms who have tuned in tonight, all the ones that have tuned in again, and all of our new road moms. We love to meet up with you from wherever in the world you are.
Absolutely. And this is a live call-in show. So if you want to call into the show, I will give you the number as soon as my computer decides to agree with me. Tonight, Mary Beth, we have just driven. Oh, my gosh, we have driven. We started at 10 in the morning, and it's now 8 o'clock my time, and we've been here for an hour and 15 minutes. It was such a long day. You know, people look at us and look at our lives as full-time RVers and go, oh, it must be nice to be on vacation all the time. But, you know, I know you agree with me when I say that full-time RVing is not for the faint of heart, and full-time RVing with kids in a car for 7 hours is not my idea of being on vacation full-time. So,
well, I hear you on that.
Have you ever had anything like that? We'll get it together. Have you had days like that?
I do. I don't know why I'm hearing all kinds of echo. But anyway, we definitely have had days like that, and I'll tell you that we can't drive much over 6 hours a day. And I know our experience is different than yours because we're in a motorhome rig, and I know you guys are in a truck with a trailer. So I guess it all depends on how you travel and how well your kids travel and if you travel early or if you travel late. But for us, 6 hours is our max. And wherever we're at in 6 hours, we need to be finding a place to pull off.
That is so the truth. And, you know, we had a plan in sight today, so we didn't want to pull off until we were at our destination. But, goodness, we ran into some traffic. I was praying on the road for the families that were involved in the accident that we saw, which had to do with a truck camper, an actual tow-behind camper. There was a motorcycle involved, and something about a truck with cows that was gone by the time we got there. But that tied us up for 2 hours for 1 mile.
Oh, that's rough. Speaking of prayers out to our traveling community, I don't know many details about this, but I've seen on, it was actually the full-time families board that is over for the folks at the TTO in Orlando, but it seems that someone's motorhome caught on fire. I believe it was last evening, and I know that burned up, and so I was kind of sending special prayers out to that gentleman who had that tragedy overnight. It's just a good awakening of how quickly things can change, no matter what kind of lifestyle you live.
I know that. I see that, too, right now on the full-time families TTO. That's Thousand Trails, for anyone that doesn't know. And, you know, when I see pictures like that, it makes me so thankful that, you know, this is going to be a shameless plug, but I'm really, really excited to meet Max the Fire Guy, who is coming to the convention, because as I said last week and the week before, fire is the one thing that really worries me about an RV, because they're not made with fireproof materials at all, and they go up in seconds, and having little kids in a situation like that, you really, really need to be prepared. I can't stress that enough. You might look silly at a campground doing a fire drill, so be it. You need to know, everyone needs to know what to do in the event of fire. The fire guy is coming, and he's literally going to show us how to get out of those escape windows and what to do and how to crawl on the floor and all this stuff. And it's for the kids, it's for the parents, it's for everybody, and it's so important. It's really so important that everyone be prepared.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to that. I I'm really kind of ashamed to say that we never talked about that when we started traveling. And I can tell you when we lived in a house full-time, when we, you know, were like that, we had definitely had a plan. We had a meeting place, and we talked about all the what-ifs. But, you know, we've never discussed it, and I'm looking forward to that. We've discussed it since, you know, since this became on our presentation. But still, even myself, you know, my kids have asked me questions, and I'm like, well, you would have to, you know, go out that window. Well, Mom, how do you go out that window? I mean, I'm looking forward to that presentation because I think it'll kind of be a hands-on experience for all of us. And I know for our family, we need that. Always good to be prepared.
Absolutely. And not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, a lot of us don't even touch those windows. Don't touch that window because we're afraid it's going to fall out and break. Just don't touch that window. Many of us don't know if they actually will open. You know, some of us, I myself put windscreens on my windows, and, you know, I'm sure my foot could go through it, but I'm not sure, you know, my little kids could figure out how to get not only the window open but through the screen on the outside. So I'm really, really looking forward to having an eye-opening experience. Well, I mentioned this is a call-in show, and I didn't give you the number, and the number is area code 425-440-5100. And once you enter that number in, 425-440-5100, then you're going to enter in code 026375#. And if you want to talk to us, there's the opportunity to talk to us. You can just hit *2, and that will allow you to raise your hand, and we'll see you waving at us, and we'll bring you on the air if you didn't want to chat with us. If you missed any of those numbers, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the Road School Moms Facebook page. It's a Facebook group on Road School. It's a group on Facebook called Road School Moms. You can type it right into the search box. And I'm going to put all that information that I just said right there. I just put it right there on the Facebook page. So it's there waiting for you. Tonight's show, I'm super excited about.
I'm excited about it, too. You know, when we first started out, even before we started out, when I entered the homeschool community, I heard a little about unschooling, but I didn't know a lot about it. And just the term, I guess, scared me, which is kind of silly, but I'll admit that's what it was. Fear. And then when I got on the road, I learned a little bit more about it. Still wasn't too sure I understood it, but I'm looking forward to tonight. I know Diana's got some great information to share.
That's right. And we have a free gift to anyone who's listening tonight. I'm really excited. You don't have to call in. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything. Just if you're listening, we have a free gift. My new book, Birdbath Soup, which is a true story that happened to my mom when she was about 6 years old, is free on Amazon tonight. So if you go to Amazon and type in Birdbath Soup, you'll see you can download it right there for free. So, free gift. Love it.
That's awesome. Thanks for that. Thanks. I know all our listeners will appreciate that. I was going to mention earlier, you were talking about the call-ins. We're going to change up our radio show a little bit tonight. So we're going to give you the opportunity to call in right now, I guess, right, Kimberly, anytime between
right
now and the time we do our interview. And then at the end of our show, we're going to take 10 or so minutes and just give you ample time to call in and ask questions or tell us where you are in the world, or if you just want to say hey, we're going to encourage you to call in and do that.
One thing we didn't talk about yet is what we're drinking. I'm drinking coffee. I screwed up and didn't make it decaf, so I'm going to be up all night. Wearing my pajama jeans, and I'm super cozy. What are you drinking, Mary Beth?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I go through these little spurts, and as bad as I wanted to get a caffeine-free Coke, because I was going to do away with caffeine, but I still wanted a pop, because I thought, this is our show, this is what we're all about, getting a cozy place to sit and your favorite beverage. And then I've been harping on, you know, the healthy thing and how we've let ourselves slide back. And I know if you follow my Diary of a Road Mom, .com Chronicles of Our Traveling, then you'll know that I'm on this eatlocalgrown.com. I've looked on there. They've got these great articles, and they all you have to do is type in your zip code, and it gives you these wonderful resources of finding locally homegrown foods so that, you know, it's organic and all of that. So I talked myself into a great big glass of water with ice.
Oh, you're just living it up. Did you put any lemon
yeah
in it?
I didn't. I didn't have time. I was too busy figuring out what jammies I was putting on for our show.
Nice. And where are you sitting drinking your nice big cup of water.
Well, I didn't hear you.
I said, where are you sitting drinking your nice big cup of water?
Where am I sitting? Well, I have to tell you that we're having, you know, we have to be in Tucson at the same time as you know, and I know you've already started making your trip. But we just are having a hard time leaving Southwest Florida. It's so beautiful down here, and we have made a lot of friends on the road at the full-time rally back in February, and so we're tying up loose ends. We were in Daytona last weekend, as you know, and then we were in Port Charlotte some this week, and we're trying to tie up some loose ends. My husband's got some loose ends on his project that he's trying to wrap up in his RV sales, so we are just, we're trying to get wrapped up. Hopefully when we talk next week, we'll be on the road headed west.
Very cool. Well, I am on the road headed west, and today for the first time we saw cactus, so I know I am officially west. This weekend we crossed over, was it this weekend? Yeah. It was Sunday.
Sunday.
Today's Sunday, so when did I cross the Mississippi? I don't remember. But we are officially in west of San Antonio, Texas. We are parked across from another road school mom, Jill Jenkins. And tomorrow there's going to be all sorts of learning about the Alamo, and so we can remember the Alamo for the rest of our lives.
Well, you know, funny you say that. We haven't talked about this, but please make sure you take some good pictures for me for the Alamo, because we have an Alamo study guide in the pipeline. So get some good pictures for me, because I'm not sure we won't have the time to stop there and enjoy it like you will.
I absolutely will. I'll be honored to supply some pictures for your road trip teacher guides. That'd be so cool. So let's see. What's going on at Road Trip Teacher? Anything new this week?
Well, we are feverishly working on our Tucson guide, and as with everything else that we do, even in our road school, when you start on one thing, then you somehow veer off and take a hard left to something else. So what's happened this week is we're firming up all of our details for the Tucson guide and getting it over to our editing department. And in the meantime, I kind of got off on a tangent about the Grand Canyon because it's so darn interesting, and just all the history there and all the, you know, how it was formed, and it's just interesting. So we've officially started that guide on the Grand Canyon and are hoping to release that at the same time the week that we're in Tucson. So we're all about the Southwest at Road Trip Teacher right now.
Nice. Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it actually firsthand, since I'm a little more Southwest than you. But Southwest Florida totally counts.
What's the weather like out that way?
It's actually chilly. It was 65 and sunny when we pulled in. You know, if I tell you that Chris had to wear a jacket, then you know it's cold, because he's very warm-blooded. And he did. He had to wear a jacket while we ate dinner outside on the picnic table tonight. And so it's chilly outside, but it's bearable. And it was pretty. So. On Full-Time Families this week, every week we release hand-picked free Kindle books that are great for FTF. And like I mentioned tonight, my Kindle book is free, Bird Bath Soup, and you can go and get it. And if you're on our mailing list, every Tuesday I send out a mailing list of the free Kindle books that we handpick based on our lifestyle. And this week we had on the list the Playdate Busy Book. That's 200 fun activities for kids of different ages. And I was really interested in that one myself. In fact, I picked it up myself. Because it's nice, you know, when you're together as a family all the time, then when you do your busy work, you want your kids to be all entertained at the same time. And so that's just a new way, new ideas for entertaining multiple age groups at the same time. And then another one that I was really interested in was Natural Remedies, 50 Natural Remedies to Prevent and Heal Everyday Sickness, which is great when you're on the road, because when you get sick, you don't want to, you know, go find a doctor that stinks, especially if you don't know where you are or possibly don't have health insurance. So those are two of the five books we had on the list. And when that list is published, don't wait. Just go grab them, because those books that I just mentioned aren't free anymore. So if you're not on the list, if you go to fulltimefamilies.com, you can sign up for the list immediately. A little thumbs up and says you want to be on the list, or you can go grab the free audio for Bird Bath Soup. That's on the side. That will put you on the list, or there's tons of ways to get on the list. So get on the list. And I think that's Oh, and we went to the Houston Space Center this weekend, Friday, we went. And so tomorrow I'm publishing a blog post about that, and when you read it tomorrow, it's Houston Space Center, see it or skip it, and you'll find out what our thoughts are tomorrow.
Speaking of this week's blog post, I want to clue you in on something. My Road School 101 crew, which as you know, that's kind of what I call my crew here on our rig. My Road School 101 crew is going to go over and do a little tour at North Trail RV this week. And we're going to put a little video together about bunkhouse rigs. We are, as you know, we're exploring the possibility of a bunkhouse rig or possibly redoing our rig to put them in there. We're not quite sure yet, but, you know, we're all about the bunkhouses because we got to see some of the really cool rigs at the Tampa show when we were there with our full-time families rally. So we're going to go over and explore a couple of fifth wheels and a couple of Class A's and maybe even a Super C or two. And we're going to do a video about that, so watch that. And if you are out there and you're looking for a bunkhouse or you're wondering what a specific model looks like on the inside or how it would fit with, you know, your kids or how you would eat dinner or all that kind of stuff, then go on our Road School Moms Facebook page or our Twitter or send us an email and let us know what kind of model you're looking at. And we'd be glad to see if they have that sort of model or something comparable. We'd love to do a virtual tour for you. We're excited. My kids are excited about doing a little exploring in that area.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'd love that, and I can't wait to see the video. So during the week, Mary Beth and I talked to Diane Gardner, who is doing a presentation at the WordPress Road School Convention coming up in April, and her presentation is specifically on unschooling pros and cons. And she wasn't available live, so we did the next best thing. We called her, and we talked with her. So you think I should play that now, Mary Beth?
Yep, I think it's time. Time for some fear and faith about unschooling.
So here is what Diane has to say about unschooling. So we are on the line tonight with Diane Gardner out in California, who will be joining us at the World's Best Road School Convention in Tucson as our unschooling expert. And we wanted to take a few minutes tonight to talk about exactly what is unschooling, what it isn't, and if it differs from road schooling, if it's a segment of road schooling. Let's just use tonight to clear up any confusion about what unschooling is all about. So, Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy
Thank
to be
you
here.
For being a part. Thank you very much for being a part of it and for making the time in your day to tell us about unschooling. So you have one daughter on the road with you, is that true?
Yes, our youngest daughter, Molly, who's about to turn 12.
Okay, and you have been unschooling her for how long?
She has always been unschooled. She's never attended school, and that's unschooling is the way we've been homeschooling the entire time. She's in what would be sixth grade.
Okay, So, Diane, can you tell us, in terms of your presentation, can you tell us exactly what unschooling is? And I know specifically for myself, I'm interested in what's the difference between road school and unschool?
Okay. Well, I look at road schooling as any type of homeschooling while you're living on the road, living in an RV or tent or fifth wheel or any of those things, living on the road. So that type of homeschooling can be seen in many different ways, whether you belong to a charter school, which we did at first, or a virtual school, pick your own curriculum, or you unschool. Basically, it's homeschooling on the road. Unschooling is a type of homeschooling, a homeschooling path or method, and I'm going to kind of quote from a few gurus because I don't know how much of an expert I really am. But Sandra Dodd, for example, she says that unschooling is the, quote, open classroom. So without any classroom at all, learning in various ways in the real world as large and as accessible as the parents can make it. So you could see how that would really fit in with road schooling and living on the road because you are exploring our real world and it's opens up to you so many different possibilities to learn. And unschooling is really a way to have freedom to learn. It doesn't necessarily mean that unschoolers don't ever take classes, they don't ever use curriculum. It's just that it's not something that becomes a mandatory or required thing. So if the parents with the children decide together that there are some classes that are interesting or some curriculum materials that are interesting, appealing to them, then they go ahead and pull those in and use those. And it's kind of a natural way of learning. So instead of being forced to do certain things on certain days, you're real open to that. So I don't know, do you want me to give you some examples or would that be helpful?
Sure, that would be good. Go ahead and give us an example. Okay. Can you give an example of what your unschooling day looks like?
Yeah, sure. So living on the road versus being in a house, it's pretty much the same. So some things, for example, and I'll kind of put it in terms of traditional school subjects to help a little bit. So for us, a traditional day, if we were doing math, would actually be like cooking breakfast, lunch, or dinner, the shopping and preparation for that, maybe talking about how we can get the best deal, calculating how much it costs per pound. You know, language arts would come into play when we love to read, especially Molly and I, and she loves to write online in journals. She plays online games that require a lot of writing, texting. We email to friends. She's on Facebook. We write postcards. Those all kind of fall in. Science would kind of fall in doing going to a science center, science experiments, cooking. The history, social studies would be just traveling around the world. She likes little passports activities, which they have a version that's about the United States, and they have activity books to learn about different states. And then physical education really falls in, and she's done tons of different things depending on where we are in the country, whether it's riding her bike, roller skating, ice skating. She's taken fencing, horseback riding, gymnastics, ice hockey, swimming, all of that. And then the et cetera kind of stuff that falls into our day, and the reason we're actually where we are right now at my mom's house this weekend is she's participating in Girl Scouts, so she's going camping for 3 days this weekend. We go on tons of field trips. When we're in different areas, we can participate in park days. So we don't really have a typical day where we get up at 9 and we do something till 12 and we do something till 3. Our typical days are actually just doing whatever is available to us that day, depending on where we are, but can incorporate all of those things. And so her way to quote school would be learning in all the different activities she participates in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Okay, so my question is, Mary Beth and I each have 4 students in our road school.
Yes.
Would it honestly be possible for me to unschool? Because what I'm hearing is that unschooling takes a lot of time and energy for the parent.
Yes. But just as parenting does. I mean, before children go off to school, they're kind of unschooling. So before a child would go off, let's say, in kindergarten at 5 years old to school, that all the things you're doing at home could be called unschooling. So, you know, the fact that everybody works together to make meals and everyone, you know, that all the different activities you're doing and the things that they're learning just naturally is really unschooling, and it just continues. So instead of going off to school, you just continue that same type of learning. And I do have several friends, and there's huge groups online all over of unschoolers who have multiple children. I think it just comes down to what works for the family. I mean, for us, you know, having one, yes, it's a lot easier because we can really help her follow her interests and help her pursue them a lot easier because I only have one that I'm schlepping over here and there. But when it comes down to the family, I mean, sometimes choices have to be made. I know, for example, my friend with 3 daughters, they're all about 3 years in age apart, so I think it's like 9, 12, and 15. Sometimes they have to make a discussion and say, you know, the one sister wants to go do this, I can't possibly drive you to 3 different places, so everyone gets to, choose their favorite class. And on Mondays we go to this, and in the meantime, you guys can read or play on Minecraft and then Tuesday we go to your thing, and so they switch off. So it is possible. There's a lot of talk in unschooling about like principles versus rules, and so one of the basic principles would be, you know, just everybody's real respectful of each other's opinions, and you kind of just continue with that. So you're just real respectful of the fact that one wants to be over here and one wants to be over there, and how can we make this work? And that, I think that's in any family, no matter if you're homeschooling or not. Compromises have to be made. And, you know, not everyone's happy 100% of the time, but if you can get the majority of the time, everybody happy and it working for everybody. So I guess the short answer would be, yes, you can do it. The longer answer is just, you have to figure out how to make it work for your family. And I think as they get older, it can be a little more difficult because now they really have interests that are potentially very different than the rest of their siblings, and trying to figure that out. But that's, you know, that's with any situation. If you have a kid who goes to school and wants to play soccer and the other sibling wants gymnastics and the other one wants, you know, art. So, yeah, you got to be flexible. All about flexibility.
Yes. So I have a question. And I think this could, you know, just probably cross the spectrum. I mean, just being a mom, I know we all have the question all the time in our heads if what we're doing is right or is, you know, whatever as a mom. And, you know, even as a homeschooler, but how specifically for an unschooler, like, I mean, how do you know, Diane, that it's working? How do you know that it's working for Molly and for your family?
Well, I guess two parts of that. One, I mean, we check in with her all the time to make sure that what's going on is what's, you know, making her happy and it's working for her. So in terms of just the emotional well-being, you know, we touch base with her all the time. And, for example, about a month or two ago, I think it was, she said, I really want to go to school next year. And I said, okay, well, you probably need to do some school at home so that you can understand what it'd be like to school there. She tried it for about a week, was over it, and we moved on. But we keep checking in with her, and that's fine. But in terms of, like, getting it, if it's going to be okay, will she ever, you know, go to college if she wants to? Will she ever be able to get a job? That kind of, you know, is it working? I do. I mean, I have my credential in special education and my master's in education. So I haven't in a few years. I would go online and I would look at what kids would normally be doing if they were in a school classroom setting. And kind of check off, like, have we explored any of those things? And kind of see what's important to us as a family that she learned. And we have a huge community, both in person and online, that we use for support to show us that older kids do make it. They do get into college if they choose that. They do get jobs. I guess the way that what we did to kind of help us get that it would be okay was something I learned at a homeschool conference where my husband and I went away without our kids. We took sheets of paper and labeled each one of them with a different school subject, so like math, science, language, history, miscellaneous. And then we each separately wrote down what we thought was important for her to learn by the time she was off on her own under each subject. And then we put them together and kind of came up with a little plan. And neither of us, as much as he's an engineer and I have, you know, got my master's, neither of us wrote down, like, calculus under math or how to write a thesis under language arts or how to recite the periodic table of elements or knowing all the president's names. The things that we thought were important for our daughter were balancing a checkbook, writing a resume, you know, basic car maintenance, sewing, that kind of thing. And to us, we realized for her to be able to live on her own, those are the things she needed to know. And that, for us, is key. And I go back and I check off on my list every now and then, like, okay, have we talked about, you know, basic algebra, let's say, when we go out shopping, so that when she's shopping on her own someday, she'll understand how to get the best value for her dollar. So we do a lot of that, like checking back into the real world of what she really would be helpful for her to know. And I sometimes get nervous. It's not like I'm completely carefree, you know, like, oh, this is all going to work out. It's all going to be wonderful. There's times I have doubts, but then I, you know, look at some of the people that I know who are now grown adults who were always unschooled, who are working and successful and married and having children and go, oh, okay, it's not completely out there. It works. It's going to be okay. And she always has the option to change, just like any parent does with their child about homeschooling. You can always decide if you want to go to school or not, or change the way you're homeschooling or not. You have those options on what works best for your family and your child, which is really the amazing thing, that we have the freedom to do that. Did that answer it?
Yes, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of fear. I think even as homeschoolers, we have fear that maybe we're not doing the right thing, maybe we're not preparing them enough. I think what you touched on, what the things that you did not put on your list for Molly, like calculus, et cetera, and the table of elements, I think what you touched on actually is really more busy work for for schools. I think that schools need that busy work to justify having those kids there for 7 hours a day. That, you know, so what else can we throw at them? What else can we teach them while they're here with us for these 7 hours a day? Because I look at the kids and I think, like any national holiday that comes around, specifically President's Day, I remember when my kids were in school at little, Dominic was in up to first grade and Blaze was in kindergarten. I remember that particular year when they were both in school, they both came home with worksheets on President's Day. And in my mind, I thought, are you going to do this for the next 8 years?
Yes, they will.
Going to get slightly more difficult, but it's going to be the same thing over and over again for the next 8 years? And yeah, exactly. So I think that there's a lot of fear associated with homeschooling that we can't keep up with what schools do, but I don't think that we need to, because I don't think schools need to do what they need to do. I think they're filling time. And then I think that there's even more fear sometimes wrapped up into unschooling, because I think that some people, I have heard unschooling, and I think I've used it myself as a punchline every once in a while, when we're not, you know, when we're not on our A game, when we're not doing our worksheets, when we're not focusing at all on schoolwork, then sometimes I go, well, you know, this week we're unschooling. And I think that there's fear in that, you know, what if it doesn't work out? And that's where unschooling gets a bad rap.
Right. And the one thing for me that helps is I do have an older daughter. She's 20. She's a junior in college. She was always public schooled. And when she started, let's see, take it back a little bit. When she was taking the math placement test to go into college, she missed the cutoff by, like, I think they said one or two questions. And she had to take a pre-college math class. She had been an A and high B math student her entire life, but she's not the best test taker. So she took this pre-college math class in her first semester of college at a state university we have here. Great reputation. And this college class, she told me, she said, Mom, this is like second grade math. We are learning order of operation here. I said, really? So you've gone all the way through 12 years of school, and now you're in college, and you're taking second grade math. So you're telling me that really all that Molly needs to learn is second grade math? Because apparently they're going to teach it all to you again when you go to college. So it kind of helped reiterate to me that some things aren't quite as vital. And it really comes down, I know the parents, it's up to them, you know, what they want their kids to learn or not. But in our case, we certainly, that kind of just validated everything that, oh, okay, you can go to college and focus on your studies in whatever area you choose to study, and you may never use any of the information that you've been being taught for 12 years. So all of the math, her history, you have to retake, you know, a basic history class. She's taking a basic health class. All of these classes that she's already taken, she's having to take again. And some things, you know, you're not quite ready to get anyways to you a little bit older. So there's been a few classes she's taken in college. She's like, okay, this makes more sense now because I can understand it, you know, now better. But again, it's still repetitive. So a lot of it is you're teaching to the test, of which you don't have to do depending on what state you're homeschooling through. And that's luxury we have in California. We don't have to. But I agree with you. A lot of it is very repetitive. It is just filling that time. And you know, one of the amazing things about living on the road and unschooling, so that we can literally every waking hour, if we so choose, we can be out and about. We don't have to be inside the rig doing schoolwork, is we can just really touch history. We can touch, you know, all types of history in other areas. But for us, we've done a lot of focus on civil rights. And I just think it's amazing that we have the opportunity to be able to do that. If she was stuck at home, stuck in a school, she might never learn about some of the things we've learned about. She might not learn about them when she's interested because they're only, you know, let's say the Civil War is only taught during fifth grade or something, and yet she might be interested when she's in third grade. And being able to unschool, we can, you know, teach things they don't like the word teach, by the way, in unschooling. So she can learn about the Civil War, you know, when she wants to learn about it, when she's interested in it. And, you know, we spent 6 months on the East Coast going in and out of places that touched on civil rights and the Civil War, and we kind of tied it all together. And that led to her being interested in the Holocaust. And we now have seen a play about Anne Frank. We're about to go to the Museum of Tolerance here in Los Angeles to see an exhibit about Anne Frank. And we're going to Amsterdam in May to go to Anne Frank's house where she hid. So these are the things that we can do that if you were stuck in a classroom, you wouldn't be able to. You could maybe read the Diary of Anne Frank, but would that really give you a sense of, you know, what she experienced at all? So it's those things really make unschooling work for us, and also road schooling, because then the whole world opens up to us, not just our local community, to explore, you know, her interests and passions.
So that brings up an interesting, while you were talking, I was thinking about when you're talking about road schooling and it opens up the world and how, I mean, really, no matter what kind of road school we talk about, and I don't like to get all wrapped up into labels, but because I do think that sometimes people are afraid of labels. You know, they don't want to be labeled an unschooler, or they don't want to be labeled, you know, whatever. But, you know, we're kind of on this virtually this unending field trip, and that's what I think I enjoy the most with us, is that,
right,
you know, it really is kind of, I mean, child-led with their interest, but that doesn't mean that we as parents don't still guide them, you know, guide them on the path, or, you know, guide them down the right road, or, you know.
Right, absolutely, because I think when they're young, you know, kids might be nervous to try something new, but you know, you as the parent have noticed, like, you know, I think they're really going to like this. I think they're really going to like to take fencing because they're so interested in medieval arts. And, you know, and sometimes they need, like, a little bit of push. Or I know that they use the term strewing. You have things out and available for them to choose from. But if you just sit back and wait for them to come to you, if they've never heard of certain things, they wouldn't even know to ask for it. So, you know, definitely we're there to help them and provide them with the opportunities and suggest things to them. I mean, there's been many things that Molly has tried and for a short period of time and moved on with them. But, you know, when I noticed, you know, an interest, she likes horses. Oh, well, let's try horseback riding. Let's try gymnastics. Let's try these things. It doesn't just have to be reading, you know, a book about it. Let's go and take it the one step further. And, you know, if they don't want to keep doing it, that's okay. But definitely we need to be there to help them with that. And in terms of, yeah, I mean, living on one big field trip, I think one of the hard things about road schooling as a lifestyle is that there is the reality of the expense. When you go on a vacation, you save up and you know, okay, we're going to go to Disneyland and Universal and this all in 2 weeks and then go back home and pay our bills. But when you're living on the road, you know, you still have to keep paying your bills the whole time. So that's been one of the interesting challenges, and like, okay, just because we're in Washington, D.C. doesn't mean we can now blow all of our savings because we're here and we want to do such and such. Like, let's look for the things that are still really cool and interesting, but that are free or discounted, just like we would if we were living in D.C. all the time. And it's the back and forth of, like, this is a really cool forever vacation, but yet it's actually our life. So that's always an interesting challenge for us, and, you know, it kind of makes it fun because then you find the things that are different because they're the ones that are the little, you know, like in our case, like the Ford Theater was one of her favorite things to do. That was something we found that we paid for, but yet the rest of the time in D.C., you know, we did tons of, like, the freebie stuff. So it is amazing we have this, you know, opportunity to see things and do things. Just right there, everywhere you go, it's something new to see and learn about. It's so cool.
That is so true. Just to make a short note on what you just said, we have found that the more economical things that we can do provide the greater value. Like our national park pass across the country is just, I mean, that $80 that we spent for the year has paid for itself 10 times in what we learned. And then our reciprocal museum pass has paid for itself in the first museum visit we went to. So those economical things that we can do far outweigh the other things like that we don't get as much value personally out of going to Disney World. We just and we definitely don't get $600 worth of value, which is how much it cost my family to go to Disney World. So I think that the economics of it naturally leads you to more high quality experiences.
Right, I agree, and I think, you know, like I said, it's like just like you would do if you weren't moving around, you would save for that one big amazing thing. Like we have gone to Universal Studios to see Harry Potter twice now, and we've gone to Florida. But the rest of the time, we've enjoyed the beaches and, you know, smaller things, and still got just as much, if not more, enjoyment out of them. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Okay, Diane, if someone is interested in looking into unschooling as a road schooling option for them, where do you suggest they start?
That's a good question. There's tons of information online. It's a bit overwhelming, actually. And at the road schooling convention, I will have a list of resources, and we can also post them online. But just to give you a few quickly, John Holt, who's thought of as one of the fathers of unschooling, there is a webpage that is devoted to his writing, and it's holtgws.com. That's like a real basic first place jumping off. There's another really cool webpage that I was just checking today to make sure I had the right address, and they're doing some construction on their webpage, but it's all spelled out. www.theunschoolersemporium.com, and they have a list of homeschool conferences and books and articles and kind of a ton of stuff all in one place. So I like that one to look at myself. And then there's tons of people online that you can look up. Like I love Sandra Dodd, and she has a really neat book. I'll see if I have it with me. I think I do. Called The Big Book of Unschooling. And it's one of those where you kind of just turn to any page in the book and it kind of answers whatever question you had that day. It's really kind of interesting. It's just a really cool book. I'll bring it with me to the conference. But there's tons of information. It's a little overwhelming. I would probably just start with John Holt and read a little bit about it. And there's some really great magazines. I'm actually going to bring one that I helped edit for. It's called the Homeschooler Magazine. And it's sponsored by one of the major homeschool organizations we have in California, but it's a worldwide magazine. It has an unschooling slant to it, and I have a bunch of back issues I was going to bring and just have available to anybody who's coming to the convention so they can take a look at it, read a little bit more about homeschooling in general and some aspects of unschooling. I had an article published in it before, and there's been some issues that talk about traveling with your kids in different ways. So, yeah, I don't want to read off a whole huge list, but start with John Holt, and then I'll provide more information because everyone's going to come to our unschooling session.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everyone should definitely come to Diane's unschooling pros and cons seminar, and I know that you have some panelists, too, to help you with the presentation. And
it's
going to
be really, really cool.
It is. It's going to be really, really exciting. And I'm looking at the schedule of events right now that Mary Beth just sent me that we're proofing and right before we publish, and it's just going to be an amazing, amazing convention. Mary Beth just got the ink on the deal with Work Camper. Amazon Camper Force is coming.
That's coming. Great.
So that's going to be fabulous. They have a lot of things to share with us. And we have booked a band and a caller for our Rootin' Tootin' Rally Hoedown.
Oh, so fun.
So if you've never square danced, or if you always square dance, or if you square dance in your sleep, whatever, you're going to really love Friday night. It's going to be a blast.
I love it. Love it.
Very cool. So, Meredith, do you have any more questions for Diane?
I don't, but I do want to mention something. When she jogged my memory when she was talking about that she had edited for the Homeschool magazine prior. Diane is actually writing for our Ultimate Road School Guide, which is our new bi-monthly publication that will be have our April issue at the Road School Convention. But Diane is actually writing a series about unschooling, so she has an article in there. So if you don't get enough information from her pros and cons of unschooling at the convention, you can always follow more information that she's going to be sending us in the Road School Guide bi-monthly. So make sure you're on our list of subscribers at Road Trip Teacher or Full-Time Families, because that's how you'll get your free magazine every other month.
Oh,
I'm
cool.
So excited about that magazine. I'm so excited.
Ooh, can I give one more little plug from my session? I just want to say that that some of the people who are going to be on the panel, besides myself, is your key speaker, Lisa Cottrell Bentley, and her husband and her teen daughter, and maybe we'll drag her younger daughter too. And so that'll be really neat. And we're going to hopefully work out to have Nancy Vogel from Family on Bikes to Skype in, who has a really interesting perspective on unschooling and definitely road schooling. And Christy Sensenig and her husband, Steve, who will probably be planted in the audience along with my husband, so we can get the dad's point of view on things. So we'll have moms and dads and teenagers to answer questions, and they're going to have kind of some predetermined questions they'll answer, and then we'll take Q&A and open discussion, talk all about, you know, the typical day, and which is, you know, not super typical, but what kind of it looks like and how children learn without formal curriculum. Are they really going to ever make it to college and find a job? Those kind of things. I've been asking people in the community for examples of questions, and then we'll definitely have open discussions so we can discuss anything at all about unschooling and road schooling in that session. So I invite anybody who, whether you unschool now or thought about it, or you actually think it's maybe a crazy idea, to come and share your opinion so we can discuss that.
Yay. That's perfect. Really perfect. Well, Diane, we will see you in Tucson. Thanks so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
And travel safe.
All right. You guys too. Travel safe.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you in Tucson. Bye. I don't know about you, Mary Beth, but I just can't wait to see her in person. She's so fun.
Is that it?
Okay. Yeah, I think it is. Diane, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to hang you up, and then Mary Beth and I are going to record a little more, okay?
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
So I'll see you in, like, a few weeks, practically.
Okay, sounds great.
Not long.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, I think it's actually stopped now. Are you still there, Mary Beth?
I am.
Thinking about Tucson. Okay, so what's going on in Tucson? What's new?
Well, one thing I want to touch on, we talked about it in the interview with Diane the day we recorded that. We just got that deal inked with Amazon Camperforce. But I just have to say I'm so excited about it. I've talked with Pamela Petrush this week, who is the program manager for Amazon Camperforce for their new recruitment. And if you don't know anything about Amazon Camperforce, then this session and this presentation that they're going to have for the few days that they're there is definitely for you. If you don't know, Amazon has this seasonal workforce that they hire, obviously, for the Christmas season. It's from September, October through December 23rd, and they hire this workforce. And so this year they've rolled out all these new benefits. Health insurance, life insurance, if you've worked for them for a certain amount of days, there's even preventative health care, and it's just a great program, especially, you know, if you're on the road in the traveling community and looking for a new an additional income source. But Pamela was talking all about what was going to be in their presentation, which included how to, you know, what they look for in a camp you know, in a worker, and you know, what the advantages are. And there's three locations: Nevada, Kansas, and Kentucky are their three main locations that they hire this for this program. So whether or not you don't know anything about Amazon, or even if you have worked for Amazon before, Amazon Camper Force, and know all about it, there's so much new in the program this year. It's just going to be exciting, all the information that they bring to us in Tucson.
That is very exciting, and I'm so excited to be talking about it this early in the year. As you said, the season for Camper Force starts a long way from now in the fall, but this is a great time to get the information you want and to get recruited. Get yourself recruited so you know where you're going to be this holiday season, and you know that you're going to be making money this holiday season to continue your journey right after the holidays.
Again, right, and Pamela, like I said, Pamela is their program director, and she's actually bringing one of the head of the programs in Kentucky with her. So it's whoever is at the convention and gets the benefit of those presentations are definitely going to be right in front of the people that recruit the workforce for this year.
That's right. So just to reiterate, this is a live show. Beth and I are right now talking to you live, and if you want to chat with us about anything, you want to tell us about how your road school week went, you want to share some of your fears or some of your accomplishments with us, just pick up the phone, give us a call, area code 425-440-5100. Again, that's area code 425-440-5100, and then you're going to enter this code so that you can get on the line with us. It's 02-63-75-pound. And once you do that, there'll be the opportunity to raise your hand. If you want to raise your hand and chat with us, I believe you hit star 2, and that will send a little, someone's got their hand raised. So let's talk to them. I'm bringing on, okay. Hold on, my thing's going to take a minute to unmute them. Area code 812-606, you're on the line with Road School Moms. Who's calling, please?
This is Caleb.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Mary Beth, is this someone you know?
Sorry, I can't answer. I don't know why I've got so much echo tonight, but this is Caleb. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah. Hi, Caleb. You're calling from up in Indiana. I'm glad you called in tonight. Good to hear your voice. Caleb is from my church family back in Bloomington, so I'll say hey to him and all of our church family. Do you have a question for us, Caleb, or are you just calling in to say hey?
Yeah, I got a question.
Okay, shoot. Go ahead.
You need to bring some of that heat up, please.
Okay, well, that's not a question. We'll send some sunshine to you, though.
Well, that's all I need. I just want to say hi.
All right, well, I'm so glad you did. And that's what we want to encourage from our road moms or any of our friends that we've met along the way to call in and say, hey, let us know where you're at and let us hear your voice. Thanks for calling in, Caleb.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Caleb. And be sure to go on Amazon and get yourself your free copy of Bird Bath Soup. It's fun
okay.
for all ages. So like I just mentioned to Caleb, all listeners tonight get a free gift if you go to Amazon. Search for Bird Bath Soup, you will find my newest children's book is free tonight. So go ahead and grab yourself a copy. When I last looked at the stats, over 125 copies have gone out the window.
That's awesome, Kimberly. And tell me, because I know I've read your book and I really love it. My kids love it. But tell me, I know you sent me the audio earlier this week. How do you get the audio for your book?
Oh, thanks for asking. If you want the audio, once you get the book, there's a link in the back on the last page that will take you to Full Time Families website. So if you want to skip that, what you can do is just go to fulltimefamilies.com. And there on the side, you'll see the picture of the cover. You might recognize that person. If you've ever met us, the Traveling Trampolinos, then you'll recognize that my daughter is actually illustrated right into the book. And so you'll see that, and it'll say, grab your free audio. And that is an audio file of myself reading the book. And that book was a labor of love. It was a story my mother used to tell me when I was a little girl, and it stayed with me forever. And because it's a true story of something that actually happened to her. And when it came time to to tell my kids stories from memory. That was one that I kept going to, and I said to myself, how do I make sure that they remember this to pass it on to their children? And I said, well, you know, if I put it in a book, then we can share it with all the children. And so that's what we did. And my kids helped me write it. We did a little bit of poetic, we took a little bit of poetic license at the end of the book. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I will say that it didn't end how the book ends, and I feel much better about how the book ends. So if you want to know how the real story ends, please be my guest, and you can go on any of our Facebook sites or email me, and I'll tell you how the story really ended, but I prefer my ending to it much better. That
way. It's a great book, and it's a great book, and we enjoyed reading it with our family.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been something I've had in the background. I've been reading to my kids since it was created a couple of years ago. So we read it most nights. It takes about 3 minutes to read, and just leaves everybody with a good smile on their face. Okay.
Speaking of reading, right? We have some questions. Asked from some of our road moms this week on a thread. I know, Kimberly, that you started on the Road School Moms page, I believe, about reluctant readers. And so if you have information you want to share about reluctant readers, obviously we don't have time tonight, but please do visit our Road School Moms Facebook page or tweet us, ask your question, whatever, because we are going to be doing a whole show about reluctant readers coming to you soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that show, and we're putting together, you know, the tools that actually solve the problems for reluctant readers, as opposed to just an hour of saying, yes, my child's reluctant to read too. We're actually going to help, hopefully, solve that issue for you in your B, because what a difference it makes when your kids like to read.
That's for sure.
So for more information on any of the things we mentioned tonight, you can go to roadschoolmoms.com. That website is still in the process of being built, but a lot of information is there already. If you want more information about the World's Best Road School Convention or to buy your tickets, you can get them at worldbestroadschoolconvention.com. Meredith, what are your sites?
My sites, obviously, all of our learning resources are on roadtripteacher.com. Our study guides are available there, and I have several free printables that are there also in our learning shop. And if you want to follow the chronicles of our family, just go to diaryofaroadmom.com.
Cool. And if you want to follow us or get some tools to make the most of your ultimate RV adventure, you can go to fulltimefamilies.com. And like I told you earlier, if you sign up for the list, you'll never miss any of the information we're sharing with you. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks, Mary Beth, for a great show.
Yep, you have safe travels, and we're going to be not far behind you.
I'm looking forward to it. I really can't wait. And tune in next week to hear more about the latest developments with the Road School Convention. And we do have a guest next week. Who's our guest next week?
Our guest next week, I was just getting ready to say that when you got finished, Nancy Felicia with A Journey Through Learning Lap Books. We are going to do an interview with her. And I think we have a Road School mom that we're going to be talking to that uses lap books in her curriculum. So next week will be all about that. And so if you're looking for a little something new to add to your Road School day, then be sure and mark your calendar for next Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, because we're going to be talking all about lap books.
I love it. I can't wait. Super excited for that. Okay. Have a good night.
Good night.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.